It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Going to have a busy show tonight. We'll give you some stuff going on. We'll have the president of the KHSA Policy Board, Darrell Billings. He'll be on here in about 10 minutes. We'll then have Coach Doug Turner, the boys soccer coach here at Powell County. And also at the end of the toward the end of the show, Doug Brewer, who is our Powell County Athletic Director. And we'll have those three guests on. We'll extend our show to 7:30 to have these three guests on, and we may have some interactions. If you have questions for Darrell or any of our guests or us, you can text those questions to 606-663-2811. Again, that number is 606-663-2811. We'll mention that throughout the show. Darrell said that he was willing to take questions from folks if they want to call in. We're always willing to take your question if you have any for us. And if we don't have answers, obviously we can just say we don't know. So that's kind of what the show is going to look like tonight. So I want to get that out there before we start. But our COVID update, we're going to give you first, and I'll go to Ken with that.
Yeah, so across the state we have 619 new cases today. That brings the total to 28,727 since all of this has happened. 609,989 have been tested, so that's a lot of people, you know, to already have taken the test. Within that, 724 unfortunate deaths related to this, 7,495 have recovered, and the positivity rate is 5.81. You know, when you look at those particular numbers, it's interesting to see that despite the fact that we're still kind of peaking in a sense, the good news is that at least here in the county, no new cases today, which is great, even though there have been a total of 40 cases, 25 have recovered, 15 active cases. When you look at those numbers, though, with, as you mentioned off the air before we kind of went on, it's been a rough week as far as the local numbers, you know, 40 cases. Honestly, it just seems like not that long ago. We were still at that one case, and then all of a sudden, slowly but surely, once we opened up.
We opened up.
Yeah, and then at that point, you know, kind of things have, you know, have continued to increase. But the fact that no new cases, which is a good sign for us, hopefully we continue in that trend. And the fact that last week we had the 29. 29. Yeah, so it's gone up, you know, the 11 in a week's time based on, you know, Wednesday to Wednesday. That's still too many, but the fact that 25 have recovered, that's promising.
Well, that number has gone up for us, which is the recovery rate, which is, that's a good thing. Again, we look at the numbers and just look at the raw numbers, 11 more cases here since last Wednesday. And again, our calendar week kind of runs, the numbers we give you go from Wednesday to Wednesday. So our correlation, we see it more when we come in to do a show versus last week, what we had in last week's show. And again, the numbers in the state have gone drastically up really since last week. But the scary point is, and again, Governor Beshear mentioned this, I think we were around 4.8 positivity rate last week. We were right at that 5 number, and now we're up to 5.8, which is up from yesterday. I think yesterday's number was 5.2 something. So we went back up today with the numbers of 600 and some, which, and again, for you guys out there that if you don't pay close attention to this, the that means that if people are out there saying that, well, because you have more tests is why you have more positives. Well, that's not actually correct. We're having more testing done, and that's a good thing. But the numbers of cases that are testing positive of that number are higher than what they want us to be. So 5 is the kind of the danger zone, and we're at 5.8. So I think we hopefully by next week, which will be the 2-week mark, I believe, from the governor's mask mandate. I believe it was about 2 weeks.
Correct.
About a week and a half into that, and we're now going to be we're just only 2 days in from bars being restricted and restaurants going back down to 25% on indoor servicing. So it'll take a couple weeks lag time before we find out whether those things are helping or not. So again, all the things that we're going to talk about tonight are based on the numbers. And if we continue the growth, and you know what we saw yesterday with the KHSA coming out with a policy recommendation that will get approved by the KDE and others, whether or not to accept or not, that's up to the other groups. But the KHSA is moving forward with athletics for the fall, which gives our kids hope. We talked about that a while ago off the air. And I think it was a good move for the KHSA. Now, we'll get more into the restrictions on that when we talk to Daryl in a minute. But right now, basically, it's kind of like this. Official practice start date for all other sports other than golf and cross country, I believe, will be starting August 24th. The first game for all sports other than football will be September the 7th, and football will be September the 11th. And if I'm mistaken on that, hopefully Daryl's listening, and he can correct me when he comes on here, but I think that is correct. So basically everybody's losing a couple percentage points of games. Now, this all is going to happen based on the numbers. If the numbers are where they are now, they probably push it back. If the numbers are getting better, then I think they feel like they can safely go ahead and open up. So it's going to take all you guys out there, and I know there are some people out there that say, well, wearing a mask is, who cares? Well, I will tell you who cares. My softball girls last year, for an example, would have cared had they not lost their season. These kids that are out there today playing football that are seniors, volleyball, soccer, whatever their sport they're playing, if you wear your mask, you help them start their season. If you wear your mask, you help us start school back. So I see a lot of these people who complain about wearing the mask are also some of the same ones, you got to start school back. Well, they work together. So
it's all conditional.
Yes. If you guys that are, you can't complain about one and not the, and want both. Wear your mask, helps us start school, helps us start athletics back. I think it goes hand in hand. You use your hand sanitizer, do the social distancing best you can. I think that's what's going to start sports in the fall. Not just the KHSA making recommendation. People are doing the safety protocols, mask, hygiene, distancing. Those three things will get the numbers down where we can go back to school and start athletics back.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm going to correct something that you said. Cross country, volleyball, soccer, and field hockey will start on the 24th. So cross country is not
pushed back?
Correct, yes.
Only golf.
Correct, yes.
Well, you know, I get to coach golf, so I get to be, the only one who starts early. And, again, golf season has started already. So we're not, but tournaments are already going on in golf. And also, mentioned golf, too, Sean Tipton's playing in the Kentucky Open. I was looking earlier. I think he was in sixth place day two. I think he was at 5-under. Try to give you a score update on Sean as we go throughout the show. I know his tee time was at 2. He was 5-under yesterday going into day two. He was 5-under through 13 holes last time I checked, and he has slipped down to, I think, sixth place, but still really solid round for Sean. So, again, we'll try to give you an update on him a little bit later on the broadcast. We're going to go ahead and step away here for a break. We'll come back, hopefully have Daryl Billings online from the KHSA president from the Board of Control and also owner of Tanner Dodge here in Stanton, Kentucky. We are back here on BCSN. Dave and Ken on WSKB 104.9.
Times have never been better to buy a new 2020 Chrysler Dodge Jeep or Ram than right now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Rates are low, Trade values are high and rebates are at an all-time level. Drive forward with the folks at Tanner. You won't find a better deal or a better place to do business. Shop Tanner first. Call them at 606-663-2856. Just off the Mountain Parkway, exit 22 in Stanton. Proudly serving Eastern Kentucky for over 20 years.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
Attention 2020 graduates. Start your career now with Stantec Manufacturing. Make plans to attend the on-site job fair on August 5th at Stantec, working in partnership with Latrell Staffing. Take a tour of the plant and get your interview. Call today for more information or reserve your interview time by calling 859-520-3815. Just mention your interest in the Stantec job fair. That's 859-520-3815. Ask how you can make up to $13 an hour. Stantec Manufacturing, now hiring recent graduates.
The emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine is faster, closer, and better. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine. Faster, closer, better.
And good evening and welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. We're being joined on the phone here in just a second from Darryl Billings. I'll go ahead and turn him on. If you're out there, Darryl, you're ready to go. Well, I mean, check and make sure. Darryl, are you with us?
I am.
Okay. Yesterday, the KHSA Board of Control did meet, and they met based on getting a formulation of what the recommendation to send forward, I guess, to the KDE and others, and I'll let you talk about that, and where you open up fall athletics. And now I'll let you kind of delve into that and explain a little bit about what I'm talking about.
Well, David, for those that don't know, I am chairman of the High School Athletic Association. Served on that Kentucky High School Athletic Association board for 4 years now and have another four-year term, and I'm the current chairman. And we've been trying for the last, I guess, 6-8 weeks to find a way to promote high school athletics and to find some shape, form, or fashion we can get our fall sports back online with all the COVID-19 situations and all the school issues. And we voted yesterday to do exactly that. We have a program that plans on putting high school athletics at least on the map for what we intend for it to look like over the next 3 to 5 weeks.
Now, as of right now, I think the what we did was extended the stage 3 until the 24th, where that would open up official practice for fall sports.
Yeah, the actual official practice date for fall sports, which allows coaches to actually have the entire team there to get involved with the actual day-to-day coaching for all sports, is going to be August the 24th, which means in most cases that is also the week that most schools are going back to school.
Yes, and that came from, I guess, when Governor Beshear announced he wanted to push back for a couple of weeks for those who are starting next week. So that would kind of jive right in with everybody else getting that start time around the 24th.
That was our intent, was to try to be pretty universal with it. We've got districts throughout the state. We have 260-plus member schools, and we've got districts that are not affected as much by COVID as some that are. You know, compare Jefferson County and Lee County. I mean, there's no comparison.
Correct.
I mean, how do you penalize Lee County for something that's happening in Jefferson County? And we were trying to find a common date that would potentially be good or be acceptable for all districts throughout the state.
I know yesterday, the media kind of ran with it. I know there was some discussion even in your all's meeting about what the media may say. I know yesterday they came out and said, okay, sports will start back August 24th and play September 7th and then September the 11th, I think are the other dates. But this document only means that this is a recommendation. This does not mean that officially we're going to start. That's up to kind of the KDE and the local school districts.
Well, we have put that as our official start date.
Okay.
Now, it is an official start date. However, that can be changed at the direction of KDE or an individual school district.
Okay.
If an individual school district that has maybe some extenuating COVID circumstances that chooses that they do not want to participate that week, they have the right on the district level to change that with no ramifications from the High School Athletic Association for failure to be at a game, for failure to participate. That is strictly up to those individual districts. Now, KDE and the governor's office will also have to give an okay to our recommendation.
Right.
We feel pretty confident that they will, or else I don't think we would have voted on it. And a lot of it's going to depend on what the CDC and what the numbers come back to the governor's office on regarding COVID cases throughout the state.
Agreed. Yeah, I think I just want people to understand that this is official from the KHSAA. However, other people can make changes, and even the KHSAA can make changes based on your next meeting day, which is the 20th of August, right before that. So if you guys see if we're seeing still an increase of cases at that point, you'll probably still maybe decide even to push back on the KHSA level. Is that correct?
Well, we have a lot of concern in some of our larger districts, Jefferson County, for an example, who have an exorbitant amount of COVID-19 cases. Yeah. They wanted a meeting prior to the suggested start date of the 24th so that we could look at the numbers that were generated throughout the state and then make an educated decision that's in the best interest and the safety of our children.
Right.
As well as the promotion of athletics. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're charged with promoting athletics, but the safety of our participants are also another factor that needs to be considered. And so we're going to meet the 20th, and if we've had an exorbitant increase, then there very well could be a change.
Yeah, and I know I talked to you yesterday on the phone, and One of the positive things that came out of the meeting, some of the football coaches maybe called you guys and said, thanks you guys for giving us hope. Ken actually said that when he came in the studio tonight, this gives our kids hope that we will have a season and something to even practice for. I mean, Powell County is on a two-week pause, which ends on Monday. We were kind of waiting on the next KHSA date for your meeting. I think y'all moved the meeting up on us a little bit, but that's okay. So, I mean, we were kind of doing the pause and hope the numbers didn't increase, but these kids are going to get hungry when they get back out there, I believe, when they see a start date in front of them.
Well, I've been chastised a little bit for saying, that we not only need to be safety conscious, but we need to be conscious about the mentality we're putting in our student athletes and to know that they are going to not – you know, I talked to a parent today that whose kid missed the baseball season in the spring.
Right.
You know, it's devastating to young men and women who have planned their entire high school careers to be ready for that senior season or to be ready for whatever it might be, for have that jerked out from under them. So it was nice to be able to give them a little hope to let them know that we are planning on playing. But at the same time, we have a physical responsibility to the High School Athletic Association. We have a promotional responsibility to promote high school athletics. But at the same time, when it gets right down to it, we still got to be safe in what we're doing.
Right.
So let me ask you this, as far as some of the conversations that you all had yesterday in your meeting, football seemed to be kind of one of the main program sports that, you know, the board was kind of focusing on through different members. What is it about football in your mind as far as some of the other members of that kind of made that the main thrust, in a sense, as far as their conversations of being concerned about football and not so much not concerned about the other sports, but football seemed to kind of be the main thrust of some of those conversations yesterday?
Well, part of that reason is the way the National Federation of High Schools and the CDC looks at football being a contact sport. That's the reason we were able to allow golf to continue. We were able to be able to social distance with golf and cut down on some of those things. We're going to be able to do that, we hope, with cross country. So football being as close contact, temperature-wise, too, you know, we're in some of the hottest times of our year. Football just seemed to be the one that everyone was more concerned with simply because of the contact issue. So I think that was probably what was on most folks' mind when we thought about football.
Yeah, and if we're closer to winter, I think basketball would be a huge concern because it's not just one problem. There's two problems with basketball. One is played indoors, and it's just as physically contacting of a sport playing basketball. And I think a lot of those guys were listening yesterday, the basketball folks, because the other concern indoors was really about volleyball and what they're going to be able to do. Am I correct on that?
I tell you what, the basketball folks are going to be really watching what happens with volleyball when we start volleyball inside and look at the COVID increases and situations we face as far as preparing facilities and sanitizing facilities, because it's going to be all relevant.
Yep.
On how basketball moves forward based on some of our indoor sports. And the CDC seems to think that indoor sports are more at risk by far than outdoor sports. They even actually thought basketball may be a higher risk problem than football.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, let me ask you this. As far as, since we kind of segued into basketball there, one of the things that was suggested or even recommended yesterday was not having double headers. So would that, you know, it wasn't necessarily clarified to the extent that, are we talking about a JV team can play and then you clear out the gym and now the varsity comes out? Or are we talking about two separate teams, you know, coming in doing the first game and then two separate teams doing the second game like a district tournament?
At this time, winter sports are not even on the table. So to talk basketball would be very premature. That really does not even apply to basketball.
Now, that's a good discussion.
We have not even discussed basketball. That is considered a winter sport, and that is for probably our September meeting. We will probably start delving into basketball, both girls and boys discussions going forward.
Yeah, I think that discussion, I think Ken was talking about was, I know they talk about, I know for Powell County perspective, Coach Jones will schedule a freshman game, JV game, and varsity game. And I think the commissioner even said, we don't know if we can play all three or not because of the time in the gym, the same kids being on the floor at the same time. So there may be some gap time where you have to do some sanitizing in between until they figure out a time. I think that's where Ken was coming from that.
I think what the CDC is trying to reduce is contact time among groups. And if we can reduce that contact time by eliminating doubleheaders, the days of having Powell and Essel play and Wolf and Lee play the game before, at least for 2020, are over.
Yeah.
I made the comment in our meeting yesterday that 2020 will not look like any year we've ever experienced in the history of the High School Athletic Association, their 100-plus years. However, we need to make the right decisions so that 2021 doesn't look like 2020 ever again.
I wholeheartedly concur with that statement, and I think it started with the spring sports last year in 2020, and it's continued on now to the fall sports in 2020. The quicker we can clean this thing up, the quicker we get back to normal. So if that's the case. We got to take a break here, Darryl. We'll come back with you for another segment, if that's okay.
That'll be fine.
All right. Take a break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
Welcome back to BCSN Live with Dave and Ken, and we are again joined by the chair of the KHSA Board of Control, Darryl Billings, here also owner of Tanner Dodge right here in Stanton. So, again, thank you, Darryl, for being on here. I think Ken's got another follow-up for you.
Yeah, just to kind of clarify once again, as far as we're currently in the, you know, the segment three that still allows teams to condition, can you elaborate on that and what this time frame will look like leading into those August 24th start dates?
Well, we had a lot of concern about school districts that were going to start earlier than the 24th. Their concerns were, if we start earlier the 24th and we get our houses cleaned up and we get everything the way we're supposed to be on social distancing and we have no increase in cases and we're doing the right thing, why should we be penalized because we took the risk and went ahead and started? So to take care of that particular comment and that particular situation, we thought it was better to go ahead and allow everyone to continue with what we considered phase three, which allowed them to do in groups of 10, coaches still in masks, no helmets, no gear, just strictly a conditioning situation. And that's what most districts are already doing, which was the guidelines we had in place just till August the 3rd. We just basically thought it was appropriate to continue those at least to the 24th, especially in those districts that did not have the COVID cases in their communities as we have experienced in a lot of larger communities.
Now, I will ask this question just as a growth number. We went from 29 last Wednesday to 40 here in Powell County. I don't know what age group those numbers are from. Does that concern you at all, like even here in Powell County, that we have more of an issue, or do you think it's just part of the problem?
Well, David, I've got my own personal beliefs regarding, you know, how testing can look.
Yeah. You know, we've increased that. We've increased testing. We have had the largest, you know, vacation time in most of our families that go on vacation are primarily in July. We had a lot of social gatherings around the 4th and yep. things that we have always done traditionally. So to see the spike did not concern me as much as it may concern a doctor or an epidemiologist. You know, I'm not a doctor. It doesn't concern me on a personal level as much as it might in certain situations. However, that is definitely information that we have to take into consideration when we're making decisions that affect the safety of student athletes, coaches, administrators that are involved in that type of situation.
Now, will the KHSA also come up with a plan on what happens if we see clusters of cases among the member schools during athletic competitions? What does the KHSA have a protocol that they're going to follow on that?
Well, if we know that there could potentially be some schools that have COVID outbreaks and may not be able to participate going forward. So we have adopted some adaptations to our bylaws that if school A has to cancel for whatever reason, then there will be no penalties involved if they can't make that particular situation. And we expect that to happen. I think we would be remiss, and I think we would probably be almost foolish to think that we're probably not going to see some cases continue. I think we're going to see maybe a little spike here, and then I think it will start to settle down a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot of it's going to depend on how well prepared our schools are. And I tell you what, you can get on a lot of school teachers and get on one side of the fence when it comes to education. But I'm telling you, we are blessed in Kentucky with the administration and the teachers that we have, the people that are prepared to do what they need to do to make sure we get through this. And it's really amazing to see that the efforts they put in, the money that's been put into preparing schools and school districts, and even the parents and families that have had to adapt around situations. It's not been an easy situation for anyone. But we're truly blessed in Kentucky and continue to I think, and I'm a little biased, but I think we kind of lead the way, not only in education, but in high school athletics and certain things, because we kind of get it. We understand that the road we lead, the road we travel, is all based on relationships and people. And I think that's one of the reasons that makes Kentucky so special when it comes to athletics and comes to education.
I wholeheartedly agree with everything you just said. And again, I know schools, education comes first in schools, athletics is secondary. I think a lot of administrators get to find out how important athletics is once they start their jobs. But again, athletics is more than just playing a game. Athletics is a lifelong of relationships. It's a chain. I mean, you've got connections everywhere with your chains that you have from these teams and the things that you learn in a team sport versus just going to school. I'm not sure you learn more than what you learn on an athletic field, even in a classroom. And I think both have to have each other to work. If the school, let's say they're 100% virtual, they can still compete in the athletic programs, though, correct?
They can. We made a bylaw, a one-year bylaw, I guess we'll probably call it a relief of the bylaw, that said that the student had to be in the building. That was a bylaw change that we adopted for COVID. It's been well received. We're going to put that burden on the school district to tell us that a student A is up to date with their grades. A student A has been doing their NTI stuff. I think we're putting a little of it back on the school district to make sure that they do what's right. And we're blessed with the athletic directors and the administration we have that they can handle that and they can manage that in a way that's very effective.
Well, the KHSA definitely can't police what each district does. That has to be pretty much self-policed by your own district. And again, all the KHSA really does is the guidance and puts the plan out for you. You follow the guidance, and you have to kind of turn in your own people if they're messing up.
you know, David, it's no different than anything else that we teach in life. I mean, some of my greatest lessons came on a basketball court, a golf course, a baseball situation, or even as an adult being involved in some of those programs. So I think for the most part, most all of our people want to do the right thing, whether it's competitively or whether it's academically. We want to do the right thing. And I'm one of those guys that believes that most people are generally good. But however, those good folks sometimes get penalized because there are a small percentage of the bad that seem to take up more of the limelight, so to speak. And I just think we're going to be fine with this. I think it's going to be a year we're going to look back in the history books and go, wow, hope that never happens in our country again. And I'm sure, being the age that you and I and Ken are, we would have never thought we'd have seen this in our lifetime. But it's here, we have seen it, and as always, I'm amazed at how we've adapted and how we said, hey, let's continue to move forward, let's continue to do the right thing, and I think we're going to be fine with it. I think the High School Athletic Association, by setting a mark, has kind of said, hey, listen, we're not going to be beaten down by a virus that we can control. We're not going to run scared. We're going to put a program out there, and if we find out it's not safe and we're going to jeopardize student-athletes, we'll change it.
And that's perfectly acceptable, I think. I think everybody out there do want to mention, too, Michigan met today on their athletics, and real similar to what Kentucky did. Their start time was a little bit earlier than ours, but the only difference they had was they actually tabled the start time of soccer, volleyball, and football. They would not allow those to start on the same start dates as the other sports, but their starting points were earlier, and they were going to start the others, but it was going to be a little bit later, maybe towards September. But again, I think we're kind of in line with other people, what they'll choose to do. Others will kind of follow, I think, Kentucky's lead. As again, I saw Michigan do almost the same thing as what we did yesterday. So if that's anything, I think maybe we can be trendsetters going forward with athletics and hope it all goes well.
I don't know that we as an average public realize just how much we have in the High School Athletic Association, just how well-organized and well-run that it is. We have become almost a trendsetter throughout the – we're in what we call District 2 of the National Federation of High Schools, which encompasses pretty much the East Coast and our part of the heartland. And it's constant that they're looking to us for guidance because of the way our boards are structured, because of the way that our high schools are structured. So, you know, we really are blessed in Kentucky. I don't know that we realize it sometimes, and I'm just as guilty as anybody. Sometimes you're the naysayer and you say, oh, that just won't work, it's going to work. And then we realize that, you know what, we really knew a little bit more about it than what we gave ourselves credit for. And we are blessed in Kentucky. And we're seeing a lot of schools that are following our lead that look to us and say, hey, if Kentucky can do it and make it work, we can make it work. And I know that's not always something to beat your chest about, but it is an important part of what we do with the High School Athletic Association. And when I went on this High School Athletic Association board, I was one of those naysayers. I thought, man, they do it all wrong. There's nothing. Those guys are, you know, they're all about this, they're all about that. And boy, was I ever wrong. And I got to meet some quality people, some quality staff that ultimately had, you know, 80,000 kids in their hearts and minds when they made decisions. And I really believe that yesterday, even though we had a pretty much unanimous vote to do what we were planning on doing, there's reservations in every one of our minds.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be one bit skeptical that if we get bad news, we're going to do what's in the best interest of 260 member schools and 80,000 kids. Nothing takes the place of that.
And I want to commend you guys personally as a coach and parent, as an educator. I think you guys on the board are doing a fantastic job. I'm glad you guys put these things on Zoom so everybody can see it. I think that is really, if we get anything positive out of this stuff, I think these are good things, like where the public can actually see what you all are discussing, how these meetings go. I think that's, going forward, I think that's a great concept for people to kind of maybe continue even after all this is over with. Maybe if you get together in a meeting, you still put it on Zoom so people can watch it. It just makes it a lot, you know, it's a lot more clear, and everybody can kind of listen and take their own account on that. A quick question I had, but before I maybe have lost it myself, but I know we were watching yesterday Major League Baseball. The Florida Marlins have lost their, I guess, 17 players or coaches who've been infected, and they're postponed until Sunday getting back to play. Now, if you say, I guess, again, we get back to that one more time, and if a school, somebody does that, they have that right, and especially with football, with contracts, those are kind of voided, and you get well and
that's
get...
Correct.
Okay, so...
That's correct. We eliminated any contractual situation with the school as a result of COVID. If I hypothetically, if Powell was scheduled to play Estill on the 3rd of October and kids from Estill County contracted COVID-19 or kids from Powell County contracted COVID-19 and they weren't going to be able to play because they're going to have to be quarantined, there will be no charge for those contracts, loss of contracts. Those were all recognized by our board and made those arrangements again so that the number one focus is the safety of the adults, coaches, the safety of the student athletes, and the protection of our member schools.
Again, I think you guys are doing a wonderful job, and with that, we'll let you go. The next meeting date, is it going to be the 20th, or do you all have another meeting on the 3rd?
No, we're having our next regularly scheduled, and we're going to actually consider it a regular meeting. The meeting we had yesterday was considered a special meeting.
Okay.
And all of our meetings are open to the public, David, whether held on the Executive Drive at the High School Athletic Association headquarters, and they are all open to the public. So we don't do any closed meetings whatsoever, other than for executive session or for personnel issues,
right,
like the school districts or anything else. But our next scheduled meeting is the 20th.
Okay.
It will be a Zoom meeting. We'll be available to be watched on Zoom across the state. I think we had yesterday somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,000-plus people on our meeting.
That's a pretty good following.
Had 4,700 on one earlier in the year.
Wow.
Had over 3,000 at our meeting that we actually held in person in Florence. Our board is a lot like a team, and you know what it's like with a team of kids that can't get together, that can't see each other, that can't experience each other. So we were able to social distance and have an in-person meeting in Northern Kentucky earlier this month, and it went really well, and we were able to do it, and we televised it. I mean, Zoomed it, and we had about 3,000 people on it. So we're seeing a lot of positive things come out of COVID, and I guess I'm one of those guys that look at the glass half full. So, you know, there are some opportunities for us to grow and get better in things that we're doing. And we're seeing that with our staff. Our staff are just, they're growing every day. They're realizing just how much more they can accomplish, how much more they actually impact schools and districts with what we've done or not done over the past. And they also feel a little bit of empathy for some of our school districts and school administrators that are forced to just do 14 things when they only get paid for one. And then they're starting to realize that our school district, just how much they really put forth an effort to make high school athletics a plus. And I think we're all going to get learn from this. We're all going to grow from this. I think the High School Athletic Association has kind of put our flag in the ground. I've made that comment at the start of our board meeting yesterday. We need to put our flag in the ground and say, here we are. We're king of the hill. You know, COVID-19, come get it. And that's kind of where we're at, and that's kind of the attitude we've taken, and hopefully we can find a way to continue to down that path.
Let's hope we can get there. I know what it was like losing a season. Let's hope we don't lose any more seasons. And you know, and again, main thing is to keep the kids healthy and the coaches healthy and the spectators as well. So again, I want to thank you for being on here with us tonight. We'll let you go and get back some farm work. I'm sure you got to do some tonight, right?
Well, I'm actually getting ready to get on a mower. So
I'll
spend now the dark on a mower, but that's just kind of the way it is. And David, I will be more than happy to field any questions even after the show.
Okay.
They can email me at my email address if they have questions, if they have concerns. They can contact me anytime. And you're welcome to give them any information. I'll be glad to answer any questions. And if I don't know the answer, I'll get you the answer. So feel free, if we have a parent out there that has a concern, feel free to have them contact me. An administrator would be glad to get you know, I've been blessed to have a lot of contacts over Eastern Kentucky and Central Kentucky and all kinds of sports, and it's just been wonderful to see those guys and gals and how they're responding. So if they have questions, you'll have them. I'm more than welcome to fill them, so have them contact me via email, stop by the dealership, give me a call. Be glad to answer any question they might have.
I appreciate it, Darrell, and thanks for your time.
All right, thanks, David. Thanks, Ken.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. Darrell Billings, he is the chair for the Kentucky High School Athletic Association Board of Control. And I'd like to thank him for being on here tonight. But we're going to step away for a break, and hopefully we'll come back with Coach Doug Turner, Powell County Boys Soccer, here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Rose's Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Just wanted to again thank Darrell Billings for taking the time to talk to us under those circumstances. And one of the things I wanted to say as well when he was on the air, but they had a three-hour meeting yesterday, and these people are volunteers. You know, they are volunteering their time to do this, to kind of guide the ship, if you will, to, as he continued to mention, you know, keep the players, coaches, keep everyone safe under those circumstances. And one of the things, as I mentioned earlier, as far as their meeting and everything, was to actually, to just, if anything, to have hope, right? At least they continued on the course that we're currently on to give these student-athletes, these coaches, even fans for that matter, just hope. You know, you extended, you know, that third phase in a sense where we're in that, where they can still kind of do the conditioning and everything. You've set the dates for the practices and all of that, but just to give people hope. I think that had they gone in and said, no, we're going to cancel the season or whatever else, I think from a mental, psychological point of view, I think that would have set countless people back.
And I think also it would have been a little premature.
Agreed. Yeah, I think they made the right decision, and again, appreciate their time, but yeah, you know, to even address these difficult issues.
Greatly. Now we are going to be joined now by Coach Doug Turner, who is the Powell County Boys High School soccer coach. How you doing, Coach Turner?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hope we got all that those titles right. You do other Perfect. Things other than just the boys soccer, but that's what we're going to talk to you as tonight. Again, if you've been listening, we've been listening to the show or not, we had Darrell Billings online, where he is the chair of the KHSA Board of Control or Policy Board. You know, where do you stand, I guess, so far as in soccer? I know we start back up Monday with Stage 3, so kind of give us where you are on this.
Yeah, thank you so much. And first of all, Mr. Billings and the whole State Athletic Association, I think you've done a great job through all of this. I got to commend them. We're so blessed. I don't know about you guys sandwiching me between Mr. Billings and Mr. Brewer, but, you know, I figure I can get in trouble with everybody tonight.
Fire on it, buddy.
So, listen, the kids are why we all do what we do, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the motivation behind all of this. And we've got an incredible bunch of kids, and probably the potential to be the best team that we've had in Powell County in our young program. We got kids that have been playing together since they were in fourth grade, and it's exciting that we may have the opportunity. But I have a little bit of a concern that soccer has been lumped in with non-contact sports.
Don't get that one either.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, right? And I'm not making these up. I looked these up. You know, you are as likely in soccer to have a strain or a sprain as you are in football. Mm-hmm. You're as likely to have a fracture, and you're as likely to have a concussion. And you guys know, you know, soccer is kind of the stray cat, you know, here in Powell County, and I get that. But these kids put as much contact on their bodies without protection as football players do. Now, I'm not trying to say the violence is the same. You guys know, you know, football is more violent. But, you know, we tackle in soccer. We tackle shoulder to shoulder. We tackle with our feet. And I'm just concerned. And so here's where I'm at. We've had this moratorium, which I voted for.
Yep.
I'm 100% behind. It was the right thing to do, given where we are. But we've not yet had a single minute of game-simulated competition.
Correct.
Not a single minute. And so we're looking at right now going into that on the 24th of this month, and 2 weeks later, literally lining up and playing our first game against Paris.
Correct.
I have concerns. The U.S. Soccer Federation recommends full team training, and by that I mean, you know, all 24, game simulation, small-sided games, big-sided games, scrimmages. They recommend 6 weeks before competition. Now, they are a governing body for club soccer and not for the high school, so the High School Athletic Association has done nothing wrong. They've not violated anything. But those parameters, I just feel, are important for the safety of the kids. And that's leaving COVID out of it. I'm just talking about the physical safety of the kids on the soccer field.
Now, correct. Now, I will say this. I know I talked to Darryl a little bit yesterday. I'm not speaking for him. Maybe I'm wrong. But I know he did tell me this, that they talked to a lot of high school coaches. And, you know, I wasn't one, and I don't guess you were either. But they've talked to high school coaches, that representatives of each sport. And they're probably talking to the, I guess you have a soccer coaches association, just like they have a football and a softball and others. But I guess those representatives give them information that says we can play with 2 weeks. You know, football said three. So that's where the information came from me. Like it's only going to take us a couple weeks to prepare. Now, I think that's based on our start time of the stage three being the July 15th start time. Had we not taken a moratorium or the two-week voluntary shutdown, then you're probably on track to start, as far as your conditioning, you're probably closer to start time on September the 7th, if that were intact, correct?
100% agree with you. 100% agree with you. But I just want to preface what you said. Coaches, right, coach to coach, no one else listening right now, right?
Yeah.
Coaches, unfortunately, don't always say the right thing for the safety of their kids.
That is correct.
And we love the competition as much as the kids do. We love it as much as the parents do. I love being out there. There's nothing like pulling on that red shirt and standing on the sidelines. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. And I know they want to play, and I want to play. Just so, I want to get it out there. I want to have a season. I got three kids that should be playing at least at the next level next year. I want to get out there, and I got them on the field. But if we can be blunt, the schools like Louisville Collegiate and Mayo and places like that, these kids have had opportunities to play in travel ball. They've got different resources than we have here in Powell County. You know, how many of our kids have access to a gym when we're not playing? You know, I'm just concerned for the safety and well-being of our kids.
Well, I've been in coaching. This is my 32nd or 33rd year in coaching. Now, this was a slap in my face when I sent some kids. For example, I had Brad Morris, who was the 1997 Mr. Golf in Kentucky, won the state tournament. I called, I don't know how many coaches I called to try to get a good scholarship. You know, every college I talked to, and UK was one of them, UK was one, I said, where did he play his summer golf? And I told him, I said, he was in a Governor's Scholar Program. He wasn't playing any summer golf. He was in a Governor's Scholar Program. And they said, well, we're only concerned with kids that are playing these major tours. So they weren't concerned about the high school season. They weren't concerned about winning a state championship. They weren't concerned about, and it kind of puzzled me. You've got a good golfer. He's a good golfer, regardless of where he was this summer. And that, since then, I've heard that from a lot of different coaches. They see travel teams, AAU ball, where you play this summer ball. it seems like a lot of coaches are piggybacking on the kids playing travel versus kids playing high school sports, and I just don't get that. There's a lot of good athletes in Eastern Kentucky that don't get any recognition because of what you just mentioned.
100% agree with you. I came out of Atlanta here to Powell County, and high school sports matters there. But if you're going to play college soccer, what club are you in?
Right.
That's correct. That was the apex, you know. And our kids just don't, you know, some of them are blessed. Some of them have the means to make it to Winchester, whatever. Some make it to Lexington a little bit. But I'm talking 1% of my entire team. And thank God for those that can, right? But listen, we're not the mountains, but we're the edge of the mountains, right? And I'm just telling you, the further east we get from here, the less opportunities that some of these kids have to be physically in shape. And so I'm not just concerned about my kids getting on the pitch. What's going to happen when my kids meet your kids on the pitch? Are they physically ready? Are they prepared to take contact? And I think that's where my concern is right now.
No, I totally agree with you. And again, I think COVID kind of puts everything in a little bit of perspective, and it kind of pushes you to get ready a little bit quicker, you know, if you want to try to play, however that goes. You know, I think people in the outside looking in, they don't think these kids work as hard as they do. I don't.
Right.
You know, they just think you see a product out on the field. That product comes from a lot of hard work prior to that game or whatever they're doing, whatever sport it may be. There is so much prep time to get you ready for that, and probably should be more prep time than what these kids put into it. So there is tons involved prior to what you see on that finished product.
There's no doubt about it. It really, and I try and get this to my kids, and it's hard here. In the size community that we're in, we have so many multi-sport athletes.
Yeah.
But I tell you, the guys that really make it at the next level, it's 9 months of training for your one sport. It's 1 month of recreation and a couple months of recovery. But you're literally spending your whole calendar year prepping for that one season.
And you're right. We look at a lot of athletes here that are like, we used to see it all the time. And I'm not knocking soccer. Once when we didn't have soccer and we didn't have volleyball, when we were just a baseball, football school, I guess, basketball school, we pretty much had the three sports, and I think golf was there too. You had a lot of kids playing three, but
right.
You didn't see a lot, you know, you saw some kids even playing four. That was very seldom. Now you may see kids playing two, and they're pretty much done with two. You don't see a lot of them, and this is guys mostly, you don't see a lot of the guys playing three to four sports now. Girls, you'll still see girls playing, try to play three sports. But the boys, and again, if you want to be really good at one skill, play one. But if you get
right.
to the professional level, those professional levels will also say, we like a more rounded kid that's played multiple sports because they bring more to the table. So there's a fine line on how much you do on one sport and how much you do on two. And it's a fine line, I think. Maybe by your junior year, you ought to figure it out. But I think there's a fine line there.
No, I agree with you. You have different body shapes for different sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't need my kids looking like an O lineman for Coach Jones. I don't need
correct.
An I can't have big and heavy. I need long and lean. But even some of my guys may not be in the right shape to be a long jumper. You know, and I agree they're completely different. But here's the fundamentals of soccer. My average midfielder is going to run 6 miles in 80 minutes with sprints, jumps, tackles, and kicks all combined in that. And to get a kid ready for that kind of an endurance event, and soccer is an endurance event,
yes.
It's an end-to-end event, you know, with virtually no timeouts unless there's an injury, it's a different level of conditioning than is needed for some other sports. And I'm not saying it's better or worse, it's just different.
Different. We always concur. It's just like I sent a kid out to play golf. This morning we went out at 9 o'clock to play, and it was really humid this morning. I walk outside and just walk the dogs, and I was breaking out in a big sweat. I think the humidity was 90% when we went out. It was like 78 degrees, so wasn't a huge factor. By 11, I was miserable outside.
Right.
But if you're out there playing soccer, you're not acclimated. You're running a lot of risks for health concerns other than, we're not talking about COVID, but you're talking about heat stroke, heat exhaustion, those types of things set in. And on these events where you're playing soccer, cross country, those, especially in the fall, those are sports you have to get in condition to run or to compete in. Because if you don't have it, then you're going to get into trouble really quick. Because this has been a really hot July. I'm kind of, not that it's a good thing they pushed us back a couple of weeks, but this last 2 weeks has been really unseasonably warm and humid.
Correct. And even before that, even before we went into the moratorium, we missed three conditioning practices out of a week because of the heat index.
And that was early. Yeah.
Right.
It's normally not this bad this time of year.
No. But the kids need, in general, my plan for my kids is 6 weeks of heat acclimation.
Right.
6 weeks. And that's not just 6 weeks of out there doing push-ups. It's 6 weeks of stimulation of games, small-sided games, to get them so that they can get, you know, on the bigger field. And I understand why. We're just not going to have it this year. And so I'm not down on my kids. I'm not down on the KHSAA. I'm not down on the district. It's just a concern and something as a coach I have to monitor incredibly closely.
But the good thing about that is everybody else is on the same protocol, hopefully.
Absolutely. I know why you're saying that tongue-in-cheek, because all we can do is do the right thing ourselves.
That's exactly right.
And I tell the kids, if we don't have integrity, we don't have anything when we get on the field. We can be the best athletes, and we don't have any integrity, it invalidates everything we do.
I wholeheartedly agree. Especially, I can say that as a golf coach. Now, for softball, it might not be as much integrity, but I'm just kidding. But, you know, in golf, that's all it is. Golf is an integrity sport. You have a penalty call on yourself. You know, that's true integrity in golf. But I think you learn more from that one sport because of the integrity that you have. That's, you're teaching the right thing as a coach, whether you get the soccer out of it or not.
Right, but see, I have a hierarchy when I try and teach the kids. The first thing I want to teach them is to be the best citizen that they can be, because they're going to be a citizen of something somewhere for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
Then I try and teach them to be the best student that they can be, because that's going to carry you long after the body's going to allow you to compete. And after then, to be the best family member they can be. And after that, then to be the best athlete, right? And so if we miss out on those top tier, that being that student and being that citizen, then we don't play as gentlemen or gentleladies on the field. And for me, that's an invalidation.
See, to me, you've already won all your games because of what you're teaching. Does that make any sense?
No, absolutely.
The game of life, you're teaching it, and he's won.
Right. We had an incident, and I'm not going to mention the school because, listen, I don't want to give anything for the locker room billboard, right? But we had a game. It was a big game. And after the game, and we lost. We lost in overtime with 32 seconds left. And boys from another place went, and they mounted our beautiful pirate ship that we have out there on our field, right?
Yeah.
Our symbol. They mounted on top of that. And I told my boys, listen, turn your back and don't even look at them. And I'm telling you, not every boy wanted to budge from that line. Every boy wanted to go throw down. But we simply turned our back on it. And when we got all done, I said, listen, you guys are winners tonight. You are the winners tonight because you learned something that's bigger than a one or two goal loss.
Good point. You're exactly right. Let me ask you this real quick. As far as, you know, obviously in this 2 week window, how were things going prior to that 2 weeks? What did you recommend your student athletes do during this 2 weeks? And then what do you see things picking up with when you get back on Monday?
That's a great question. So we've been really blessed. Mr. Brewer took a very proactive role in his new position of scheduling time for the soccer team to actually be in the fieldhouse weight room. And I don't know if it's the first. It's the first since I've been here. But, man, I'll tell you, that just the privilege of having the use of the wonderful facilities that we've been blessed with there has really allowed us to pick up our game a whole lot regarding conditioning. And then new football coach is, you know, you got to change everything. He went in and reorganized it, and it is so beautiful. I'm so proud to take the kids in there. And we've worked hard. We've worked hard on running the best that we can. We've worked hard on individual ball skills. And so the blessing is during these 2 weeks, we've not been forbidden to have contact with the kids. And I've only done it through text messages, but I've been sending out daily workouts that they can do, even if they don't have a gym, even if they don't have weights, even if they don't have resistance bands, just to keep fresh so that when we get back on the field on Monday, we can pick up with our conditioning and go.
And that's huge because the kids can do things on their own. And that's what I mentioned before. You can only be as good as how hard you work on your own. If you spend three, I guess you're going to be limited to 7.5 hours of practice next week.
Right.
They'll need to put another 7.5 hours on their own if they want to get better. So,
absolutely.
I mean, it's not just time on the field in practice. It's time that you have to put in an equal amount of time off the practice field on their own, not that you're requiring. I mean, these kids, to be really good, I think you have to work twice as hard, and that's where you put the work in. That's how you get better.
There's no doubt. I say integrity is who you are when nobody's looking. Right? I tell them that all the time.
Yeah.
So it's so nice that you're running hard. You're running your sprints hard when I'm watching you. What do you do when I'm not watching you? What do you do if I'm with an injured athlete? What do you do if I'm not at that practice? Our first week back next week, I'm going to be away training with the National Guard because, you know, three jobs is better than one. And so I'm going to be gone all next week. But, you know, integrity is what you do when my assistant coach is there. How do you respond to her? You know, integrity is if mom and dad say get off the couch and go exercise, do you do it? And integrity is what makes you a whole person.
So you're going to miss the first week based on a prior commitment, which is very honorable. By the way, I want to thank you for commitment to service.
Absolutely.
So
thank you for your support.
Thank you. Thank you on that end. But how much you're going to miss that first week of practice when you're doing your guard time?
And I'm happiest when I'm with the kids. And so when I listen to the folks talking at the KHSAA meetings, I get it what they're talking about because I believe in many ways to some of these boys, I'm as much of a father as they may or may not have at home. And so when I'm not with my family, I'm not happy. You know, I love being with my family.
That
I'm not with these boys.
Very well said, by the way. I don't think people realize as coaches how much time we spend with these kids. And if it's even if it's 7 hours a week, 7.5 hours a week, COVID may be a little bit different. But normal times, you're spending more time than most of the parents are spending with these kids in 1 week's time.
Absolutely. You know, after practice, I'll have a kid come to me and say something like this. I just broke up with my girlfriend. I don't know what to do.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what. I got five kids, and I didn't have a whole lot of conversations like that with my own kids, right? You know, they'll come to me, and I've had players here in Powell County come to me afterwards and said, Coach, I haven't eaten in 2 days. Is there anything you can do to help? Yeah, let's go get some food, dude. Come on, let's go, you know. Coach, I don't have money to buy cleats this year. Can you help me out? Yeah, I'll find a way, right? And so in a lot of ways, we act as we can never replace a parent, even a missing parent. We can't. But I believe the role of the coach is very familial. I really believe it's our job not to get wins and losses, but to raise young men and women. And so I treat them like my own kids. In fact, at the end of every practice, you can ask my boys, I look every one of my players in the eye and I tell them I love them. Because I ain't doing this for the money. I don't know about you, Coach, but I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this for the money, right? It's for the kids that we do this.
Like I said, this is my 30-some-plus years of coaching, and you're exactly right. If I was doing it for that, I'd be in a mansion somewhere. That's not the case at all. It you got to love the kids, and you know I learned the teaching, and it was kind of weird for me. I was divorced and then remarried, and my wife had two daughters, and I've been their parent at home, and I learned so much as a educator when I had kids that I had to be concerned about. I was a much better teacher after I learned these kids are more important than what I thought they were when you go out and you teach. And before that, it was my always mathletes. But when I had kids, it was even better. And you've got, by the way, you've got some wonderful girls of yours, by the way, that you raised really well. So, again, I think our kids are reflected by what our parents do, and you've got wonderful kids. I think mine are really good kids as well. And they're only going to be resemble what we teach. And this is the same for our athletes. Hopefully, our athletes will show the same kind of thing.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, if I can be honest, and I know I'm going to get all kinds of hate email after this, I have more problems with parents than I do with kids.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I love my parents, and I know some of them are listening tonight. I love you all. but here's what we all need. Every one of our sports in Powell County, as we go into the season, here's where we need to be. We need to remember that our kids are more resilient than we think they are. Our
yes.
kids can bounce back from incredible stuff. And I'm sorry for the baseball and softball teams that lost the season, especially the seniors. It breaks my heart. But I'll tell you what, those kids are landing on their feet, and they're going on, and they're living strong. Right? And the same thing will happen if we miss out part of the fall, we miss out all the winter, listen, the kids are going to land on their feet.
Yep.
And what we have to do is not live vicariously through our kids. Even when I'm coaching, I remind myself all the time, it's not my job to live through the student-athlete. It's my job to guide the student-athlete. And as much fun as I have, well, most of the time, most of the time I have fun. As much fun as I have, right, the end of the day, I just have to remember that I'm there whether the kids win, whether the kids lose, whether the kids play, whether they don't play, whether they get on the field, whether they don't get on the field. I got to be there for them no matter what. And if our parents can adopt that mentality and stop all worrying, stop the anger, is my kid going to play in college? Is my kid going to be okay? Are they going to be depressed? Because we're dealing with a once-in-my-lifetime kind of thing right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be 50 at the end of this year. I've never experienced anything like this. But the kids will bounce back if we are just there to be a backbone for them and support them regardless of what happens.
We interviewed some of the softball and baseball kids here on the show after we lost our seasons. I was so proud of the way they handled losing the season. I would have not been more proud of them had they won district tournaments that year. I was more proud of the way they handled the adversity. And that, to me, shows that those kids figured it out. And I wholeheartedly agree with you. It's tragic. It's awful if these kids lose a season.
Yeah.
But they come out of it really well if we support them and show them that we still care and they're not forgotten. It's amazing how well these kids will do.
Yeah, because life doesn't always go the way we want it to. I mean, it'd be really nice if it did, but life doesn't always work out the way we want it to.
I have learned that losing teaches far more lessons than winning ever did.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. You don't learn anything from winning.
No.
I hate to say it. You don't learn a thing from winning. Losing is where your character is revealed.
Yes.
Losing is where your commitment is revealed. Losing is where what you care about is revealed. And I'm not trying to lose any matches on purpose, but that's where the life lessons are.
Yeah, I don't like to lose, but you do learn more from losing than you do from winning. Now, I will say this. If you're used to winning all the time, you've learned one thing. You know how to win.
Yeah.
But there's more to winning. I know I've watched one of my family members that won every year between their seven-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old season. Lost a game when they were 12. Did not know how to handle it. And they lost 3 in a row. Why?
Wow.
Because they didn't know how to handle failure. It wasn't that they knew how to win. They just didn't know how to handle the failure when it hit them. And once it hit, then it was just, well, what we lost? How? Why? What? You know, people will improve and people get better. And again, I think you learn by losing, but our goal is to try to win. So we won't limit our losses, right?
Absolutely right. No, it's my son, when he was a young soccer goalie, and he had last game he played in middle school was against the arch rival in Atlanta, and he not only was the winning goalkeeper, he actually stepped up in overtime and scored the goal that won it. So he stopped the goal and scored the goal that won the game. And literally, his first words to me after the game was this: "Winning may not be everything, but it's a heck of a lot more fun than losing."
Oh yeah,
and he's right.
Yeah,
but that's not where the lessons are. And
yeah.
And so what I hope for our community, because right now, I've basically taken myself, for the most part, where I can, off Facebook and social media, because right now everybody is an expert, and everyone knows whether you should wear a mask or not wear a mask, whether it's dangerous or not dangerous, whether it's a conspiracy or not conspiracy. And what Powell County needs to do right now, right? I'm an outsider. You guys know that. I'm an outsider. I'm a newbie here. This is my 5th year here. I've got 7 more generations before I belong here, right? I'm the new guy. But what we need to do is remember that this is a county built on families, supported by families. Family's the foundation of this community. And we just got to be a family no matter what happens, whether our kids play or don't play, whether they go to school at home or whether they go to school in a building. We got to be a family right now, because it's only as a family we're going to get through this. And one of my big concerns is that in the promotion of athletics, we sacrifice academics. And what I mean by that is, you know, when our kids get out there on the football field and they start tackling and they start touching folks from Menifee, and I'm not trying to blame them, or Prefett or Jackson or wherever they come from, Paris, right? All these places, we're going to be opening ourselves up to exposure to COVID, like this community, which is not exactly the most transient of communities. We're going to be opening ourselves up to all kinds of stuff. And so, right now, I'm trying to temper the emotions of my boys and say, you know what? KHSAA has said we can play. They've given us a framework. They've created the framework. But that doesn't mean our local health department has to approve it. It
Correct.
Doesn't mean that the school district has to approve it. It doesn't mean that Governor Beshear has to approve it. And there needs to be guarded attention right now. Just guard your emotions, because this thing could get worse before it gets better. And I hate for that to happen. But it's a reality right now that we all have to deal with.
Well, we're seeing it with the pro sports who are opening up with Major League Baseball. 17 cases on the Florida team. That's been postponed now through Sunday. The Detroit Tigers left the Cincinnati Reds where they had a positive case and thought they had two more. They left afraid, because they left Cincinnati, that they were going to come down with COVID, being the Tigers. So, yeah, that's out there, and that's out in the professional land. And these guys are testing twice a week. You know, there's no testing in high school sports. Now, that's the thing. I think there should be some testing done, but that's a me thing. But, again, there's no testing. There's no protocols, nothing to keep our kids safe. Because we don't know who's positive, who's negative, who's not. Because I don't think that a lot of these kids are testing. I think they're supposed to be part of their physical. But that's just a me thing. Because we can't. It's hard to track. You know, like you said, we're going to play these multiple counties and teams, and twice a week, you come in contact with two. Well, which one gave you COVID? If you get it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They get it on Tuesday. They get it on Thursday. I mean, which game did it happen? So. Yeah, and then you've contacted other schools. So I'm like Darryl, what he said. We're probably going to see an increase in cases because of playing sports. It's just what you want to be able to live with is the issue after that.
That's right. And right now, everyone's bold.
Yeah.
Until it's their kid that gets it.
Correct.
I mean, I'm bold right now too, right? We're all going to be bold until it's our kid. And that's kind of what worries me too in this community, where we have so many of our kids that are living with older loved ones, being raised by grandparents and aunts and uncles. And so it's not just keeping our kids healthy, it's sending our kids home from school, from sports, healthy as well, so that they don't infect somebody that's vulnerable.
Bingo. That's what you have to do. So I totally agree. Doug, I tell you what, we've got to get Mr. Brewer on here for a few minutes. So
yeah.
It's been great having you on here. I'd like to have you maybe on another segment, maybe get you on here again.
As we get closer, not
next week, you're gone, but maybe a couple weeks in, maybe we have you on here again and really go at this.
It'd be an honor. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Coach Turner.
Appreciate you too.
Take care. Yep.
We'll take a break here on PCSN Live. Come back with Coach. Well, Mr. Doug Brewer here, Pike County Athletic Director. Be back in a moment.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
Attention 2020 graduates. Start your career now with Stantec Manufacturing. Make plans to attend the on-site job fair on August 5th at Stantec, working in partnership with Luttrell Staffing. Take a tour of the plant and get your interview. Call today for more information or reserve your interview time by calling 859-520-3815. Just mention your interest in the Stantec job fair. That's 859-520-3815. Ask how you can make up to $13 an hour. Stantec Manufacturing, now hiring recent graduates.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Marshall, I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9348.
Welcome back to BCSN Live. We've been joined now by County Athletic Director Doug Brewer. How you doing, Mr. Brewer?
Doing great. How you guys?
Doing just fine. Now, we are in the midst of our countywide shutdown, and it was a voluntary shutdown, as Coach Turner alluded to, and I think I maybe alluded to a little bit earlier. But we resume back on Monday, which is the, I guess it's the third. So what are you seeing going forward here with County Athletics?
Well, you're right. We return back on Monday, August the 3rd, and we're going to be under the same Segment 3 guidelines that we were under before. That's not going to change. That will actually, those guidelines will be in place all the way through August 24th, which if you listen to the KHSA guidelines, that will be the first official day of practice. I think a lot of things have to take place before that in order for that to actually happen.
Yep.
We are under the Segment 3 guidelines still.
Now, I do have this one question. I think I heard this statement yesterday during the meeting, but I'll ask you this. I think I've heard this before. Coaches, during practices, are they required to wear a mask the entire practice time?
They are. Yeah,
okay.
Even when the when Governor Beshear put out his mask order, and part of that mask order was one exemption for players that are practicing, scrimmaging, or exercising. However, KHSA said we still want our coaches masking.
Okay. I thought I heard that recommendation, but I wasn't sure I read it anywhere.
But with the current mask order that we are under, everyone has to mask. It's a masking mandate. So his order kind of took a back seat to what he announced earlier this week. So we will be under that until that expires.
Okay. And that's going to be that was a 2-week plan as of then, right? The mask mandate?
It was, yes. Yes.
So I know we talked about the framework of what the KHSA did yesterday. Again, this is going to be monitored, and it's going to be followed closely by, I'm sure, the county health departments, the CDC, Frankfurt, the governor's office, whether or not we can go forward on the dates that are proposed. And it was a 24th start date of practice, the 7th for games for all sports except football, and the 11th for football. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And you're right. It's going to hinge on guidance from our state health officials and local cooperation. We can't, and the state can't move forward until we have cooperation from them and really get the okay from them.
How much in collaboration are you with the local health department as far as doing some of the things that you all are doing?
The superintendent collaborates with our local health department quite a bit. If I have questions or a proposal, then it usually goes through him to the health department.
As far as what you saw from the KHSAA, what they released, how do you feel about their recommendations, realizing they still have a few hoops to go through as far as KDE, et cetera, but how did you feel about yesterday's meeting that they had?
I thought it was positive, and I was energized by what they had to say. My hope is that everybody does what they're expected to do, and we can really start to see a decrease in our numbers so that we can actually have a fall sports season. Their guidelines are set up so as everything is going well, so to speak, with our COVID numbers. If they're not, then that meeting on August the 20th might have a different tone to it.
Totally agree with that. Now, I have a question, and I asked Darryl this question earlier, and I know they don't have a specific guideline. I know that if a team has a cluster of cases, for an example, you know, obviously they'll not be obligated to follow their contracts. But if, let's say, Powell County has six cases, does a district have a policy on what we're going to do if those kind of things happen in athletics?
We would simply follow the suggestions of the health department.
Okay.
In that regard. And more than likely, we would step in and do the most logical thing for our team and our players.
Yeah, I
certainly hope that never happens. But that's what we would do.
Well, Coach Turner mentioned that, you know, we're going to be playing different schools, different teams. You got, let's say we open up on the 7th. We've got three soccer matches, boys and girls. We've got two volleyball games that week. We come in contact with, let's say, 7 different counties. And what he said was probably accurate. We're putting ourselves more at risk the more people you contact with. And then when you talk to, like, Darryl for the KCCA, they're expecting numbers to have spikes in high school athletics. So those statements by themselves, are they concerning at all?
Well, it is, because there's the big unknown with this virus. We don't know how it's going to affect each individual kid. You can't take a group and lump them together and say it's going to affect this group a specific way. Everybody's an individual.
Right.
So it's highly concerning that we have the possibility of even developing cases like that. You know, we just had Major League Baseball games canceled because cases are ballooning on teams. And we have teams that follow those teams the next day, and they won't go in the dugout.
Yep.
They cancel the game because of the team before. So this is going to be – this is very fluid, and we just have to really approach it with logic and with the kids' health in mind, first and foremost.
I know when you look at professional sports, it's a little bit different. We've seen NASCAR start, and again, they got their teams, and they're testing quite often. And if they're negative, they – so have to sit out for a while, have to have two positive tests before return. Major League Baseball, again, if you test positive, you're two tests before you can return. It's a little bit longer out time, I think. Golf has the same thing. It's two positive tests before you can return. I guess those are CDC guidelines, I'm assuming, because they're all having the same guidelines. It's two positive tests, two negative tests before you can return to play. Are there implementations that we can do as a school district? I know we're high school athletics. Again, our kids aren't required to test. You know, those athletes are. Do you see any of that being a possibility down the road?
I do. It's not something that has been – we haven't discussed any policies relating to that because the guidelines keep changing.
Right.
If you set a policy, the guideline changes, you have to go back and change that policy. So it's really – I don't think it's really a policy issue at this point. It's more just procedures and guidelines and establishing those as we move forward. You know, now the in the beginning, we're talking about return to school. It said if someone tested positive, then they're going to be out a certain amount of days. Well, now it's just changed to where as long as you're 24 hours fever-free, then you're good to return.
Right.
So that's a new guideline. And so, and those are going to change even before the end of the month.
So we're learning by the day.
We are, and we're relying on the health professionals too, which I think is the smartest thing to do.
Well, they're health professionals for a reason, and if we don't listen to them, then it's our fault.
Exactly.
Has there been any discussion as far as, let's say we go forward and we're having these seasons, any discussion as far as, you know, seating within the gym for volleyball and or, you know, the football stadium, as far as seating and arrangements, as far as like how you handle the fans going forward under those circumstances?
Well, we're waiting to see what KHSA puts out in regards to recommendations for fan seating. They haven't addressed that yet.
Yeah.
I think they're waiting to see what the numbers are going to look like. The only fan discussion we've had so far is related to volleyball, and that discussion actually was tabled to another meeting. And one suggestion was that when the JV team finishes their match, you clear the gym, sanitize the bleachers and the benches, then you bring people back in. But there was a lot of lot of questions about that. One of those being, why would you clear up the same fans that were
there,
just in there, and then bring them back again? I think they were talking more so about double headers where different teams are coming into play.
Right.
You would clear out.
The only thing I heard yesterday that maybe when they had the freshman JV and varsity games, they're talking about the amount of time they spend inside.
Correct.
Is that a possibility? Is that what you're talking
about? They're still talking about, because the idea was to reduce the amount of non-varsity participation.
Right.
And again, they wanted to wait and talk more about that a little bit later, because it came out that you're still going to have those freshman players play on the JV team.
They're still
in the facility.
Will the health department, will they be making any recommendations as far as crowd or fans?
They will look at our local numbers, and they can make recommendations as far as amount of fans in the stands. They make recommendations about a number of students on buses. They have that right, and we go by the recommendations.
So
my hope is that this isn't even an issue. The last thing that I want to do is turn fans away. I don't want to tell a mother or a father, sorry, we're at capacity, you can't come in and watch your kid play or watch your dog cheer. I just can't. That's the last thing I want to do, and it would kill me to have to do that.
I have seen in golf, for an example, in like if you're playing, I know Sean Tipton's playing in a professional tournament tonight, and there's no spectators allowed. In golf, for high school golf, I think they're allowed two people can go with the child. So every kid can have two people. So let's say we have a field of 80. That's 160 potential parents plus the 80 kids plus all your coaches. That was my concern with golf, is if we get all that group together, we're going to start to have issues, in my opinion, even in golf, because we're outside of the purview of the KGA-PGA, because they're saying no spectators, yet they're having two, I guess two parents is what they're kind of looking at for each player.
But, you know, if we're at the point where we are limiting fans in the stands and asking them to social distance, then you're also limiting play on the field.
Yep.
I don't know how you ask one group to distance, but not the other group. So that all that has to be figured out prior to August 20th.
Yeah, I'm just kind of glad that like Dr. Orr or like the people at the KHSA board, they have these decisions, because you're talking about superintendents out there. Man, it's going to be tough. You got guidelines from the state saying, okay, you can't be around more than 10 or 12 people. But you go to a classroom of 20, I'm not just using education as a sounding board here, but we're outside of that parameter of what they want you to gather with if you go back to school on a regular note. And school is a different issue. Maybe we should have Dr. Roll in here one night just to talk about school and what the plans are. But I guess you understand my point here. Again, we're looking at the kids coming back to a regular classroom, and you just hope everybody stays safe.
Right, and that is the overall goal, as Commissioner Tackett said in the meeting, and said again today, is the number one goal is getting kids back in school.
Yeah.
And the secondary goal is getting kids in the court or in the gym and on the field. So the KHSA is also adamant about kids being back in school and doing it the right way. They've done an incredible amount of work leading up to the meeting that we had yesterday. And, they don't go into those meetings unarmed, so to speak. They did a lot of work.
They're prepped.
And just in the documentation that they have shows you the amount of work that they did. So they don't arrive at these decisions easily, and they've got a lot of research to back up what they do. But I do believe that their number one goal is right now is to get kids in school, because if we don't get kids in school, then we don't have kids on the field or in the gym.
Correct. And I really like the way they pushed back the start date to when school was starting, and kind of everybody's on the same playing field on that, that way it goes. And I thought that made sense, and I thought that was a good decision for them. Again, I saw Michigan today. They had less – they're going back earlier than we are, but still have some of the same concerns that we do. But they actually tabled football, boys soccer, and volleyball. They didn't say soccer tabling girls soccer, but they did table boys soccer when they could start in Michigan. So pretty much everything else was the same as what the Kentucky did, but they had the same concerns with the sports. I think we heard yesterday meeting. Volleyball was a concern because it's indoor, and then you talk about soccer, which is a more of a contact sport or a high-touch sport, I guess what they look at it, and football. So the high-touch sports are still kind of around the state, around the nation, as similar sport or, I guess, different types of athletics if you're looking at them.
Right, and there's still the issue of middle school girls basketball.
Yep.
Which is another high-touch sport.
Yep.
That really wasn't touched on a lot yesterday, and so there's still some information that has to come out about that. So, you know, that has to be addressed as well. That will actually be the first basketball season, you know, as we're experiencing this COVID virus. So that they really need to look into that and get an idea, because that's going to give you an idea of what high school basketball is going to look like.
That is correct. I think that's why you didn't see. Of course, I heard them say this about the middle school basketball. I guess the case they say Board of Control is high school sports governance, and the commissioner takes care of the middle school sports. Is that what I heard on there yesterday?
Yeah, that's what. And he takes care of middle school sports and basically follows every guideline that high school has established.
But there's not really been much guidelines.
It makes perfect sense, because, like he said yesterday, you don't want your high school teams being limited to certain guidelines and middle school not, and vice versa, because it creates confusion and animosity as well. And so I think it's smart to make sure that both fall under the same umbrella.
You know, like I said, I think they did a really good job yesterday. I mean, obviously the one comment that the commission made about cheerleading, only thing I probably wish I'd heard differently. And again, I think that's already been addressed anyway, but, you know, all these kids that are working hard out there, again, we want them to have a season. Again, I look at it as a coach that lost a season last year, know what it feels like. But, you know, if you look about it in hindsight, we didn't know what we were going to face in the spring. It was a smart shutdown, in my opinion. The numbers are worse now than what they were in the spring. Do you think people look at the numbers and say, well, if you couldn't play then, you shouldn't play now? Do you have a lot of that conversation going on?
Not much, but the way I look at that is, when on March 6th, when we shut down, we had no idea how to address this.
Correct.
And so we've been given time from March all the way up until now to figure out a plan on how to address this and how to try to return to school as safe as possible. At that time, it was day by day. And there was a lot the CDC didn't even know. So I think it was smart to, you always err on the side of caution.
I agree.
And
no,
I think it was a smart thing to do.
I agree with what we know now, that it was the right thing to do then. I just worry about, you know, there will be that group of people who may say, well, look, if you got 600 cases a day and you only had 30 back then, should you not stay closed until it's better? But we've learned a lot since March.
We have, thankfully.
Yeah, so I think that's one thing looking forward. I think we're going to have to learn how to somehow live with this. And again, I'll throw this out there again. Folks, if you're not wearing your mask and sanitizing and social distancing, these things may not happen August 24th.
I agree, and I said that in that very short email that I sent out yesterday.
Yep.
You know, basically, if we don't do what's expected, then we won't be playing.
Right.
And you know, I encourage everybody to do what's expected. If you want to see your son or your daughter participating, do what's expected. You know, we've got kids. Our fall sports have more kids that go on to the next level than any of our other sports at this time.
Yep.
You know, we don't want these kids missing opportunities.
I don't think people realize how many opportunities these kids get. And like you said, I think fall is by far greater than anything we see in the spring as far as going on and playing further.
without a doubt. You know, we currently have a five-star kicker on our football team.
Yep.
Who, you know, he's going to get offers from schools, but the more exposure he gets on the field in actual game situations, you know, will help his exposure.
That,
so, you know, we want to promote those kids.
And if we don't, we're not doing our jobs either. So, I mean, it's a kind of a catch-22. Got to play to promote, and you know, like a lot of these kids are playing these travel ball. That's concerning with the travel ball with really no restrictions. I'm really proud of Major League Baseball when they show the games on TV. All the coaches, trainers, all the staff are masked. Players, for the most part, are wearing masks. I hope these like travel baseball teams and softball teams out there are looking at these pro athletes wearing masks in the dugouts, because when I see pictures on Facebook, nobody's wearing a mask anywhere. And again, if we're going to keep this out of the schools, out of the athletic programs, man, we got to be careful out there in this summer.
And they're also in the dugout. If you notice, they're not sitting next to each other.
Yeah,
those guys are probably 3 feet apart, and they're doing what's expected. That shows how bad they want to play and continue to play.
And I just wish our other generation would learn. Look, you can do this if you just want to. Hopefully, some of our parents that don't do that push us more on the kids, because if they want to go back to school, they got to get used to wearing that mask.
That's correct.
So, again, you got anything? We'll let you go here in a second. You got anything else you want to share with us before we let you go?
I think we've covered about everything. I do want to promote our Powell County Athletics Facebook page. You know, the whole idea behind that is to promote our teams, our players, and our coaches. And so if we can get a lot of people following that, liking that page, and I try to put information on there as it comes to me, you know, information related to our sports programs. And I want to be a good communication piece for the county.
Well, I know you're not a huge fan of social media, but
that's an understatement.
But if it's used properly, it's a great tool. And that's the key. All these things that are fused properly, they're great tools. If they're used improperly, then they're just junk. But again, I'm thankful for the page. I'm glad it's up. Again, you can catch a lot of information on that. Because I hear what Coach Turner was saying. He's kind of shut his Facebook down because of all the negativity. And I think a lot of folks have done that here in the past. But again, we got to be all on the same page, regardless of political beliefs or whatever it is. And just put the mask on and social distance and practice the safe guidelines that we've been given. And that's going to get us back to school and back to playing ball quicker than anything that you all can do for us out there. So if you're listening, that's always going to be my PSA. You're on PCSN Live.
I agree. It's a very simple, simple thing that we have to do.
Keep it simple, stupid, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's my motto.
Yeah, I know. Let's go have an ice cream after we get done here. We got to wear a mask, though, right?
Exactly.
All right, Mr. Brewer. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. And thanks for waiting patiently for us to get on here, too.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Right,
thank you. Again, we've had a lot of discussions tonight talking with Darrell Billings, the chair of the KSSA Policy Board, Doug Turner, the boys soccer coach, And Doug Brewer, our county athletic director, and really, I think all three kind of gave the same message. You know, we're glad to get back to sports, glad for the hope that it gives, but it's all tempered. And if we're not doing these precautions, we may not get to start anything we want to start in August.
Well, and not to say, you know, repeat what the governor has said for months on end, but we're in this together.
Yes.
I mean, we truly are. And to reiterate what Coach Turner said, in a sense, we are a family in this community. We're one of the smallest communities, you know, counties for that matter, in the state as far as population and everything else. We have to work together. We have to do this not only for ourselves, but for our neighbors, our loved ones. And when we pull together, we're capable of doing incredible things. And therefore, if we can do that unselfishly to promote, these safe guidelines, et cetera, we're going to get back to normal. We'll have the school starting. We'll have the athletics. We'll be able to get back to a normalcy, if you will, But collectively, we have to all be in this together and be on the same page and, yep. and forget the politics, put all that stuff aside. You know, we're all human beings. We're all Americans. We're all in this together. I love my neighbors, and I hope they love me. And it's that love, in a sense, and not the division. Let's focus on the things that we're in together with and not be concerned about the things that we disagree with, but focus on the things that we do agree with. And we can all agree that I want nothing but the best, not only for you, for myself, my family, the extended family, as far as the people within this community. And obviously that trickles down to children. That's why we're in the business that we're in. We love kids. They are our future. And to invest our time into those children, to let them be the best that they can be and have the opportunities they want to fulfill their dreams, you know, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, and it's kind of I look at it, if we can get together to defeat COVID and push the numbers back down, we can get together on anything that's a social issue out there, as long as we're united and we're working toward a common goal and having a conversation that we're not arguing every time. We're just having a conversation, and that's all we can do is open these discussions, open these lines of communication, and just get together on this. And whether you agree with wearing a mask or not, you know, 30 years ago, we had the same argument about seatbelts. Everybody didn't want to wear them. It was mandated. It has saved lives, regardless of what you think. 90% of all fatalities were not wearing their seatbelts. That was a simple fact. You're probably not going to, you're not as likely to get COVID if you're wearing your mask and you're protecting yourself and others. So
I'm going to give you a high five on that. Simple. That's an excellent comparison. Honestly, that's an excellent comparison, because you're right. There were so many people during that time that were against it. Same premise. Have the right to pick and choose whether I want to wear the seatbelt or not, and that's the same argument that people are having today. Bottom line is, it does. Seatbelts do save lives. Wearing the mask, social distancing, sanitizing, following the rest of those guidelines, it does save lives and it does help.
It's really simple. I mean, we really, not everybody's really into maybe wearing seatbelts still today, but they will also admit, I probably am safer if I wear one. I just choose not to. That is your choice. You're probably more at risk by yourself in a car than I would be without the mask. But it's the only thing I can think of that's similar, that we fought hard. But wear your mask, and if you're out in public, and you're, again, now as I finally know, if I'm coaching, I have to wear the mask all the time. So, guys, if you're out there working hard, great. 24th is your start date, hopefully, but we got to keep the numbers down, so do the right things. So tune in next week here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9. And thanks for listening tonight. And again, thanks for all of our guests. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.
Pickup Country 104.9, serving Owensville, Camargo, Korea, Trapp, Bowen, Bear Track, and Island City. Thanks for listening local and around the world at WSKVFM.com.
Welcome to the Tim White Bluegrass Show from Bristol, Tennessee.